quick, slow, step back together, turn forward, chasse and cross and quick, slow and stop.
Now that was an excerpt from the 39 steps. Another in our series, A Film Worth Remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those with patience and understanding, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Arthur Skilligut and friends, Dolly Mixture, Neville Crisp and his talking warthog, the hat manufacturer's felt band, Miss Samantha Snuff.
She's not to be sneezed at.
To continue, Alistair Skit Whittington, Lady Helen Highwater, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Our Ken, a show that has more fans than Lady Windermere. As a matter of fact, I received one letter from a listener this morning, and she said...
Yes, Kenneth Horne, I want to congratulate you on a wonderful show. The cast are absolutely first class, but personally, you are my favorite. Such charm and talent is rare these days.
Signed, an admirer. Well, isn't that nice?
P.S. Don't forget to get a loaf and 2 pints of milk on your way home.
Well, now, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I popped into the Captain's Arms, and who should be there but Paul Fennelly. And unfortunately, in my anxiety to greet him, I jogged the arm of a chap carrying 6 full pints. And the beer ended up all over Paul. Oh, dear. Well, I shouldn't laugh, really. It wasn't very funny, but it was an event. As far as I'm concerned, it's the first time the drinks have ever been on him. Tuesday, well, I was supposed to visit a match factory, but there was a strike on. So I just bought a violin and fiddled around at home. On Wednesday, I'd been invited to the zoo to give a lecture to the birds and bees. Well, they thought it was high time someone told them about people, you see. Thursday was a sporting day, and I wasn't sure which sport to pursue. So I asked someone at the BBC, and he advised me to concentrate on athletics. Well, what he actually said was,
why don't you take a running jump?
Which, needless to say, I didn't. In the end, I just stayed at home and did a few household chores. And on Friday morning, when I woke up, I felt pretty run down. So I decided to go round to one of the local doctors for a checkup. Yes, morning, Doctor.
Ah, come in. Do sit down.
Thank you.
Oh, I say, thank you, Mr. Horne. You found my hypodermic. I'm so glad.
Yes, well, don't mention it.
It's been absolute agony doing injections with a crochet hook. Now, let's have a look. Oh, I don't like the look of you.
Oh, come now. I look much the same as I always do.
I know. So what seems to be the trouble? Have you been overdoing it, have you?
Well, not really, except that yesterday my wife was out and I did a lot of things about the house, you know, washing dishes, washing floors, washing windows.
Well, what about your maid?
She washes herself, thank you.
Now, I pretend I didn't hear that. Well, let's take a closer look. Yes, when you get up in the morning, do you have a sort of muscular tremor in the left ankle, accompanied by periodic palpitations in the lumbar region, a vague feeling of uneasiness in the cervical vertebrae, and a persistent buzzing in the right ear?
No.
Well, I was just a shot in the dark. All right, then. I'd say there's nothing else for it. I'll have to examine you. I will test your reflexes. Knees. Make a wonderful doorbell. Ribs. Well, you should have more than 3. Our elbows. Oh, very sharp. And finally, the tummy. Oh, bless you. I'll just run through that again quickly. Splendid.
Now, look, Doctor, I don't want to appear impertinent, but are you qualified?
Oh, gracious. I've been practicing medicine for years and years.
Hope you'll get the hang of it one day.
I've got some very famous patients.
Yes, now, but what about my complaint?
In my considered opinion, you have a touch of compare's tongue.
Compare's tongue? What's that?
It's a lingual aberration brought about by excessive verbigo reflux.
What does that mean?
You talk too much. Don't worry, Miss Hall. You need a little tonic, and I think I know just the thing. Nurse?
Oh, what a lovely prescription. It's Janet Waters. Janet, now, if you want to make my pulse beat faster still, how about a little kiss?
Well, Ken, I don't think so. Not in a doctor's surgery.
You mean you're turning me down on medical grounds?
Nurse Waters?
Yes, doctor?
I think you'd better see.
Hello, nice, Janet. Well, now, I must be going.
Just a minute, Miss Horn. Is this your book?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Well, it's ordinary sort of detective novel.
Well, that's where you're wrong, Doctor. The ordinary detective novel always has a male hero. James Bond, Slim Callahan, Inspector Maigret, and so forth. But this book is different.
You're not going to tell me it's about a woman detective.
Precisely. Would you like to hear the story?
No.
Well, they're going to. Stand by.
Polly Potter of Scotland Yard. Yes, this is the story of Inspector Polly Potter, known to the police forces of the world as Interpolly. Of course. She wasn't always Inspector Polly. Let us go back to the beginning, when Polly Potter first became a policewoman. Her progress in most subjects was remarkable, except one, unarmed combat. Her judo instructor had this to say.
Well, I've tried hard to show her the various holds, but every time she gets you in a clinch...
Yes?
Who wants to do judo?
Eventually, Polly Potter became a fully-fledged policewoman and was attached to one of London's busiest police stations.
She took her orders well.
Oi, Polly, put the kettle on.
I have.
Suits you. Then came the thrilling moment when she made her first arrest.
All right, come along, in you go.
I haven't done anything, you can't do this, you can't.
Thank you, Sergeant, thank you. I want this man locked up.
What did he do, Potter?
He had the audacity to come up to me in the street and ask me if I'd got the time.
But promotion came quickly for Polly Potter, and eventually she was transferred to the CID as the only woman detective inspector on the force.
Inspector Potter?
Sergeant Jenkins here, ma'am. I'm speaking from number 14 Medway Avenue. You'd better get down here right away.
Oh, but I can't. I've got a hair appointment at 11.
But, Inspector, you must come. It's urgent.
All right.
Oh, hello, Inspector. Now, this is the room. I'll just move this chair.
No. Don't move a thing. I like this room just the way it is. Of course, it would have been me. I'd have put the standard lamp over there.
Inspector.
But... Yes?
The body is here.
Body?
Yes, there's a knife in his back, a rope round his neck. We've discovered 6 bullets, and there are traces of poison in his drink.
Is he dead?
I'm afraid so, Inspector.
Oh.
Oh, dear, she's fainted again.
When I came to, I made a careful appraisal of the situation. Yes, well, I'm very certain of one thing, Sergeant.
What's that, Inspector?
This man has been murdered. Now, what do we know about him?
Well, Inspector, his name was Bertram Ballpoint.
Probably just a pen name. Yes, let me see. Yes. He was a member of the notorious dope smuggling ring called the Vicious Circle. He was killed because he double-crossed the head of the organization. A man known to Interpol as the head of a notorious dope smuggling ring called the Vicious Circle. But his real name is Alphonse Derriere. Come, Sergeant Jenkins. You and I are going to Paris.
Well... I know this is a silly question, but why?
Because that's where our man is hiding out. Come on.
Just a minute. A dicky bird.
I beg your pardon?
A dicky bird.
Well, what does that mean?
Nothing. I just haven't said a dicky bird for ages.
Let's go, Inspector.
I've been expecting you.
I am Inspector Leblanc of the Sûreté.
You must be Inspector Potter.
No, this is Inspector Potter.
Hello. But
you are a woman.
An amazing bit of observation, Inspector.
I'm sorry, but you see, we do not have such charming ladies in our police force. That would never do.
Why not?
We would all want to take the law into our own hands.
Now, somewhere in Paris is the man we're looking for.
But where? Inspector, this calls for a spot of deduction.
But of course. Ah, ma chérie, incredible.
Inspector, I said deduction. Do you know of a man called Alphonse Derrière?
Alphonse Derrière? Ah, wait. Is he not one of the London Derrières?
That's right. He's a dope.
Turn over the page.
Oh, sorry. He's a dope smuggler.
Yeah, well, I am afraid I do not know whereabouts in Paris he might be. And now, if you will excuse moi, Madame Georgette is waiting in the other room. I have to take some fingerprints off her.
Why?
They are mine.
We searched Paris for Alphonse Derrière. I went to Montparnasse.
I went to the Folies Bergère.
I asked questions on the left bank.
I asked questions in the Folies Bergère.
At last, I got somewhere.
I didn't, unfortunately.
A bearded Frenchman took us to his house in the Rue de Postcard.
This is the house. In there you will find Monsieur Derrière.
He's very handsome, madame.
Right. I'm going in. Jenkins, and if I'm not out in 5 minutes...
Yes?
Go home.
Be careful, madame. He is very dangerous.
I'd better come with you.
Oh, all right.
Are you Alphonse Derrière, head of the notorious dope smuggling ring known as the Vicious Circle?
No, sorry, wrong house.
Well, perhaps it's next door.
No, this is the place, all right. Look at the name, please.
Alphonse Derrière, head of the notorious dope smuggling ring, known as the Vicious Circle, no hawkers, canvassers, or circulars.
We'll try again. Leave this to me.
Hello, Alphonse. Don't you remember me? Mimi Rochelle?
Well, I don't know the name, but you're very familiar.
Well, please don't I get a kiss after all this time?
Oh, stop messing about.
No, come on.
Oh, all right, then, just a little one.
Give me your arm, Alphonse.
All right, here you are. Here, you've handcuffs on me.
Yes, I am Inspector Polly Potter of Scotland Yard. You are under arrest.
You're not rotten.
Well, you've eluded the police for years, and now you've been caught by a lovely blonde policewoman. What do you say to that?
Well, I suppose it's a fair cop.
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on show business.
Should more office blocks be pulled down to make way for theaters? Well, now, for our first guest from show business, we're glad to have with us one of the biggest teenage idols of today, Cliff Birkinshaw. Now, how are things with you, Cliff?
Oh, sensational. My latest sis sold something like 100,000.
Really? You must be very happy.
Yes, Daddy-o, I'm swinging. Oh, yes.
Yes, swinging. Now, let's see now.
That's Boston here.
Yeah, you're certainly swinging. I'm glad to say you are, too. Now, let's see now. Your hit song is Susie, is it not?
Yes.
Now, do you think we can hear a little of it?
Oh, certainly, yes. I don't mind singing just a snack for you. Music, please. Susie, Susie, must you treat me so? Susie, Susie, sweetie, don't you know? You're the cutest, sweetest girl I've seen. And when we kiss, it's so serene. Susie, I'm so in love with Susie. Susie, woozy, 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 Susie.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Bagginshaw, just before you go, now tell us, would you, when you're singing these sort of songs to teenagers, what do you feel they need most?
Umbrellas.
Now, we're very happy to meet film star Shirley Van Meadows.
Hello.
Miss Meadows, although we associate you with glamour, I believe you're something of an intellectual.
Oh, well, you know... Not really. I'd like to be. Yes, of course I would. I'm trying hard to be a thinker. You know, I'm reading a book.
Well, that's interesting. Now, what book are you reading?
I don't know. It's a red one.
And now we're privileged to meet a remarkable character. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Thank you.
Mind the microphone, sir. Mind the microphone. Now, sir, I understand. I'm sure you're not used to that.
No,
see that.
I'm not.
It's a studio.
Studio, yes.
No. I understand that you work in a circus.
Yes, that is how the old sawdust ring. Yes.
Now, what exactly do you do?
What I do, yes. Well, you see, sir, I tidy up the sawdust after the act.
Yes, quite. And may I ask how much this job is worth?
I get 35 shillings a week.
Well, how much?
35 shillings.
Well, it's quite extraordinary. Only 35 shillings a week to work like that.
Yes.
You know, there must be plenty of better paid jobs. Why don't you leave?
Well, then give up show business. I would never give
you
up.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Finally, in contrast, we turn to the legitimate theatre, and in particular to a famous husband and wife acting team who have delighted audiences for many years, Ambrose Blunt and Felicity Fontaine. And shall we ever forget their famous balcony scene from Romeo and Juliet?
Well, but soft, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east. And Juliet is the sun. She speaks.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
I'm here, you silly old faggot. You're on the ground half the time.
Yes, do not swear, although I joy in thee, I have no joy of this contract.
Tonight. Neither have I. The BBC never pay enough.
It is too rash, too unadvised, too sudden, too like the lightning which doth cease to be ere one can say.
Oh, shut your cake hole. Let me have a go. How sweet and silver sound lovers' tongues by night. Well,
like your business. Music, huh? Oh, don't just stand there. Give us a hand up the balcony.
Oh, thank you.
Where was I? Oh, yes. Yes. Like Sophie's music to attend in here, oh.
Yes. It is almost morning. I would have thee gone.
Oh, Dunyan just got up here. Skip to lying your dopey attic.
Good night. Good night. Nothing is such sweet sorrow,
Wait. Depart ye not. A question of much import would I ask.
And that is...
Where do we get the money?
Oh,
I shall be only a friend.
There you are. There'll be another Hornorama next week, and the subject will be coal merchants. Are they getting slack? So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now, and leaving you with this thought, which once more comes from a very young listener. He says, if a man had 50 door knockers on his door, would he win a Nobel Prize? Good night.
Been listening to What I've Just Missed, Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show. Under contract was Kenneth Horne. Under pressure were Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Janet Waters, and the Hornet. Under the influence of Paul Fennelly were the BBC Variety Orchestra. Under fire, scriptwriter Eric Merriman, and under observation, our producer, Jake Sprouse.